Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. We're going to be looking at this passage, complete in Christ. What does it mean to be biblically complete? Matthew 5, verse 48. We'll read this one verse. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness unto us and all that you have done for us. Lord, open our eyes to understand this idea of biblical completeness. Lord, we pray all these things and ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen, and you may be seated. What does it mean to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? What does it mean to be saved? If I were to ask this group and any group of Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ, hand out a sheet of paper and say, write down your first thought when I said, what does it mean to be saved? I wonder what answers I would get. I would probably suspect I'm forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Jesus has saved me. I believe in Jesus. I read my Bible. There could be a whole bunch of initial responses. I dare say and think that nobody initially would write down this. To be saved means I'm complete. I am a complete person. But that's exactly one of the biggest nuances that being saved is trying to convey to you. I am complete. There's nothing lacking in me. There's nothing diminished. And the reason it says be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect is because God is not absent of anything. He is totally complete. Let me ask you this to help lead into this. Who is the most complete human being you think has ever walked this planet? Jesus Christ. All right? If that's true, and it is, then what am I supposed to do with this verse? My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be what? Formed where? If he's the most complete person in the world, and he is, he's going to be formed. Formed is the embodiment, the manifestation. He's supposed to be embodied and manifested through who? Through us. So if he's most complete and he's supposed to be embodied and manifested through me, then I must eventually become what? I must eventually become complete. And that's this word teleos that's translated perfect many times in the New Testament. And that one passage we just read out of Matthew 5, when Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, that's that word teleos, and it has the idea of not only perfect, but complete. The reason God's perfect is because there's nothing lacking. He is totally complete. And God has always been that way. There's never been a time where God hasn't been complete. He's never had anything added to him, and he certainly has not had to have anything taken away from him. He is and always will be and has been complete. Me and you, on the other hand, even saved people, we are complete, and I'll show you what I mean by that in a minute, and we're on a journey to become complete. So we are complete in one way, and we're on a journey to become complete in another way. So what do I mean by this? And to help you understand and help me to understand, I'm going to use this silly illustration. When I was working with the Connection Kids and many others in this room, I used to buy them prizes, and I didn't want no-brainer prizes. In other words, you just didn't have to use your head to put it together or use it. So I would pick out things that would at least cause them to think for a couple minutes. And one of those was Legos. And I would go there and I picked the Legos based on the picture I saw on the outside. Because if I was getting it for some boys, I'd kind of lean this way. For girls, I'd kind of lean the other. But here's the point of bringing this up. This picture tells me what? What's going to look like? What's going to look like? Well, I open this box up and I find this. This doesn't look like this. So not only do I find that, I find this inside of there. And what's this inside of here? Instructions. So what I understand is everything I have in here is already present, so that when I'm at, what is going to be the end? What is going to be the completeness of these blocks? When it looks like what? When it looks like this. This will be complete when it looks like this. All the parts are here. They just need to be what? Put together. And when it's done, it'll be complete. Now, who's going to do this? There are three people who are going to do it, and one person is going to hinder it. The guy who created this, or the lady who created this particular logo or Lego set and made it, can come here anywhere, pick up this box, pour out the parts, and do what with it? Put it together. So that's one person who could do that. What if that person doesn't do it? Well, then the person who this belongs to, who's been given this, the person who this has been given to, they can take out the what? They can take out the instructions, and they can what? Read it, take these parts, and do what? Put it together. So there's two people, the guy who made it, or the lady who made it, the person who it belongs to, there's a third person who could help. What if John, or Bob would be better in this church, what if Bob is walking along and he sees me working on this and he says, hey, Todd, I have something just like that. Where are you at in putting this together? Well, I'm here. And he says, well, you know what? I'm further along than you are. I'll tell you where some of these pieces go. And he comes over and he says, now, this one goes here, this one goes there, and this one goes over there. He's helping me put this together, right? So the guy who created it can help me. The guy who this belongs to can do it with the what? With the instructions. And somebody who's putting the same thing together can walk along and do what? Help me. Well, there's another person who can come in here and they can look at it and they can say, is this what you're working on? And they can tell me the wrong parts, or they can take away parts. In other words, instead of bringing me to completeness, they can hinder me from being complete by taking things away or by misleading me in my instructions. Not only which you won't find in Legos, but in life, the guy who's putting this together also has his own bag. And he can, if he's not sure, sometimes he can take parts that didn't come in this box and try to what? Put them on there. And sooner or later, he's going to find out what? That doesn't fit. That doesn't belong there. Maybe that's why it wasn't in the box to begin with. Because it doesn't fit and it doesn't belong there. And I'm going to illustrate that a little bit further in a moment. So, completeness. When I have all the material I need to make the finished what? Product. When it's this turns into this, I'm what? I'm complete, I'm perfect. But we're not after that, we're after this. Right? We're after this. So how am I going to be perfect like this? And this individual is being formed in me. When I have all the what? When I have all the parts, I'm not complete yet. I have all the parts. It needs to be what? Put together. And guess what? Three people are going to help me. The person who made it, the person it belongs to, and the guy or lady passing by. So let's dig in there. That was a silly illustration, but let's see if I can back it all up with Bible. First of all, do I have all the parts? Do I have all the parts to be this? Well, let's take a look at it. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Well, all things for what? All things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. Well, wouldn't that make me a complete person? I have all the parts that will make me pertain to life and goodness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and to what? Virtue. I have all my parts. That ought to be encouraging, because when I see the goal, the first thought is, no way. How's that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen. First of all, I need to know I have all the parts. And the answer is, I have all the parts. There is nothing lacking in your life if you're a Christian. You have everything you need to be complete. You don't need to be go chasing this, that, or the other thing, which is what we do when we don't realize what we have. We're chasing all these things thinking, this is going to be the answer of my life. This is going to fill me up. This is going to do it. No, you have everything you need to be this. And as a Christian, this ought to be your goal as far as being having a complete life and a perfect life. This ought to be the goal. And I think for many Christians, this isn't the goal. They were so glad their sins were forgiven and they're going to heaven. That's great, but that's not the goal. That's not why God saved you. You're still not complete. You're complete when this happens. That's when you become and enjoy everything God has given to you. But what am I? So I at the beginning, I said, God is complete, is and always has been. We are complete. And at the same time, we're working on being complete. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. What am I right now? What am I right now in Christ? Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after who? Not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwelleth how much of the Godhead? All of it. Okay. If all the Godhead dwells in Jesus, and Jesus as a saved person lives where? In me, then what's that make me? And ye, verse 10, are what? You're complete in him, which is the head over everything. This is what the goal is. And when I accept Christ, this is what happens. I'm what? I'm complete. What's lacking, and I know you can't see it, what's lacking in this car from this picture? Not one thing. There isn't one thing lacking. This car, I can honestly say, is perfect. It's absolutely complete. It looks exactly like the image that it's supposed to look like. Right? There's nothing lacking. Because how can God say, I'm complete in him? And what's the ramifications of that? What's the ramifications of being complete in Jesus? This is the ramification. In Ephesians chapter 1, that's that great prayer of the Apostle Paul. And prior to this, he said, I pray that you would understand God's power. What do you mean God's power? Tell me about God's power. How do you measure God's power? How was it illustrated? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised Jesus Christ from the what? The dead. That's a lot of power. And
and set him at his own right hand in where? Heavenly places. And verse number, or chapter number 2, verse 6. And not only is Jesus in that heavenly place, we're going to find out somebody else is in that same heavenly place with him. And hath raised who up? Us. Now, who's us? Who's us? Everybody who's what? Saved. That's us. He's raised up. Past or present or future tense. Past tense. And made us sit. Past, present, or future. And made us. I made him sit down yesterday. Past, present, or future. Past, but continuing on into the future. Got it? Something that happened in my past, but is continuing on in my future. He made us to sit together where? In heavenly places. In who? I'm complete. That's how God sees me. How do I know that? Because where am I seated right now? Where? Where's Christ at? In heaven. How did I get there? Wasn't me. It's because who made me complete? Jesus made me complete. I don't need, and that was Paul's warning in Colossians. Don't let men deceive you. Because some of these men think, oh, listen, yeah, you're here. You're here, but nah, you've got to reach into your bag. You've got to add this, and you've got to, oh, you definitely need that before you get to heaven. And you need this. Then you'll be what? You'll be complete. You need to add your baptism. You need to add your confirmation. You need to add this. You need to add this other thing. And Jesus' response to that is, no, you don't. You're what? You're complete. That's how you get to be seated in heaven. Didn't that verse shock you? Because you know you, right? How can I be in heaven when I know this week there's a great chance I'm going to sin again? There's a great chance I'm going to have a thought I ought not to have in my head. How in the world can Jesus Christ logically put me there? Because in him you're what? You're complete. Do you see why we tell people you don't need to be baptized? You should be baptized. Don't get me wrong. You don't need to do this, that, or the other thing. All you need is who? Christ, because you're what? You're complete. Now, who's going to make me complete as a Christian? Remember our three options? The owner can do what? Put it together. The owner and designer of the whole thing, King Kaboodle, he can put it together. The person who that belongs to can put it together. And somebody who passes by can what? Help you put it together. So let's see. How are we made complete? Number one, the Creator. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in who? Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Additional proof that God's at work. For it is God which worketh where? In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you know one of the most exhilarating feelings after my salvation was the realization I could choose to do right? I could choose to do right. Because sometimes when you start putting this stuff together yourself, you put pieces where they shouldn't be, and you say, oh, that piece ought to not be there, and you try to separate it, and the thing won't separate. And you feel like you're stuck. You know that's not how you're supposed to be, but you can't do anything about it. And how freeing it is when you wake up and you realize, I can separate these two. I can, not only do I have a desire to, I actually, for the first time in my life, have the ability to do the thing that I know is right. Well, who's doing that? The one who made me and has made me complete. For it is God which worketh in you both to will it and then to do it. I need God. I need him. But it's me he's working on. So how am I made complete? The owner. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, do what? Work out what? Your salvation. Who's supposed to be working it out? You are. Who's supposed to be helping God put this thing together? You are. You're supposed to be helping by God's grace. It's not something I just don't sit there and by osmosis. You have to participate in this. Look at 2 Peter verse 1 and verse chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, and this is what we're going to take a look at next Sunday morning, briefly, because our missionary will be here. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Who's doing the adding here? You or someone else? You are. You're supposed, God gives you the faith. God gives you the ability to believe. You're supposed to add to it. You're supposed to add virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and we'll go over that list next Sunday morning. I'm an active participant in my completeness. How about others? How am I made complete? Others. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, teachers. Why did he give those people? Why did he ask those people to give up their lives and become these individuals? Verse number 12, for the what? For the perfecting of who? You. This guy is supposed to know where the parts are supposed to be. This guy is supposed to stand up here and tell you, listen, this part doesn't belong there. I don't care who told you to put it there. It doesn't belong there. Get it off. This part doesn't belong there. These parts, they belong there. And we're going to work out on how to get them there. His sole desire is not that he write books and that he be on TV and that he be well known well after he's dead. His sole desire is that when he leave his ministry, he could look back and see a room full of people by the grace of God that are what? That are complete. That's his job. And you know as well as I do, if you want to work on something, the more time you spend on it, the quicker and the better it what? It gets done. If you really want it done, you're going to what? You're going to work on it. You're going to give your time and your energy. Any of you, there was on our way back up to my mom and dad's on Highway 23, running up a stretch, there was a house that, and it was huge. It was just the outside frame, and they were slower than molasses. I mean, we were measuring progress by the number of Christmases that passed. First it was this, and then you think, oh, by the time we come home in the summer to visit mom and dad, that house ought to be busy. Nope. The side may be up. Well, by next Christmas, it should be finished. Nope, the roof would be up. And it just went on. Finally, they never did finish it. And you think to yourself, what? What a waste. Because they didn't work on it. I don't know why. I'm not trying to understand why. I just think of that constantly as an example of something going to waste because they wouldn't work on it.
God works. You're supposed to work. God sends other people to work in the form of a pastor. Not only the form of a pastor, look what it says here.
How am I made complete? Others, let the word of Christ dwell in you, all of you, richly in all wisdom. Doing what?
What am I supposed to do with that information that's dwelling in me?
I'm supposed to teach and admonish who?
One another. We need each other. If this is going to get done the way God wants it to get done, I need God. I need to participate myself, and I need other people in my life.
Some who are specifically given the ability by the grace of God to do it,
and others who I congregate with are supposed to be helping me build this thing called me. Called me. Because I don't want to be less than what I'm supposed to be. Christ is supposed to be being formed where? Inside of me. And I'm asking you, help me. If you've already put that part, if you've already put some of these parts where they're supposed to be, and you see I'm putting them in the wrong spot, you're supposed to help me. You're supposed to come over and tell me, no, Todd, that's not where that goes. It goes here, not there. Why? So that at the end, we can be as complete as possible. Now, the fourth person I don't need. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to do what? I don't need him. I don't need this destroyed. I need this what? Together. I came, Jesus said, that they might have what? And have it how? More abundantly. I don't need him. And I don't need him or anybody representing him. Because they're going to tell me, hey, listen, put this part over here. That's where it belongs. And so sometimes, not going to work. Oh, and sometimes you do. You put it where he says to put it, and you look at it, and you think, can you guys see that? Can you see that? A little bit. Does it look right? No. But that's where he told you to what? And after a while, you say, well, maybe it's a new design. Maybe that's how I'm supposed to be. And then after a while, you keep reading the instructions, and you find out that thing doesn't belong there at all. Get that off. Well, what are some of the things that are in my bag that didn't come in the original package that God doesn't want there? The parts I don't need. Love, not the what? I don't need them. I don't need those parts. And so many Christians, oh, yes, you do. You need those parts. You need those parts. You'll never be what you need to be if you don't pick those parts back up. And God's saying to me, no, you've got it all. You have all the parts you need. Get rid of those parts. Love not the world, neither the things that are what? Don't do it. You're going to mess this up. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John not only said it, Peter said it. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the what? Lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time passed over our life may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Whenever you got saved, and it's different for every one of us, the time prior to that, that you were living for the Gentiles and fulfilling your own lust, that was enough time to live that way. All right? You don't need to live that way anymore. That was enough. You had enough of that. It's time to stop living according to the will of your flesh and the Gentiles and start living towards the will of who? The will of God. You've had enough time. So put those lust, what? Get them away. That's not going to help you get where? That's not going to help you get here. All right. Wrapping this up. Am I living in the reality of my life, of my completeness in who? Christ. Am I living that way? Am I living in the reality I have all the parts? I have the image that I'm going to be formed into. I have the directions. I have access to the individual who created me. And I'm surrounded by people who are trying to make the same thing. Am I living in that reality? Salvation is more than your sins are forgiven. That's a huge part, right? That's fantastic. Salvation is more than I'm going to heaven. That's fantastic, right? That's super. The reality of being saved is I start my journey of becoming a complete human being. A complete one. Lacking what? Nothing. Well, what's that going to look like? It's going to look like the individual you said was the most complete human being that's ever walked this earth. And that's who? Jesus Christ. So all I have to do is keep looking at where are these parts going? Where are we headed to? We're headed to this. Whatever he looks like is God trying to form him in me. Am I living in the reality of that? Am I living like a complete Christian? I know we stumble. And we focused on that this morning in the men's Sunday school. God's not focused on your stumbling. He gets it. He understands it. That's why Jesus Christ came. He's focused on where you're going. That's where he's focused. He's not focused and concerned, or he's concerned, but he's not dwelling that you put the wrong parts on your vehicle, on your being. He's concerned that you keep working towards this. That's what he's concerned about. Now, this is what we're going to work on over the next several weeks. According to the directions, how many of my pieces are where they are supposed to be? According to the directions, how many of my pieces are where they're supposed to be? That's what we're going to take a look at. Because Peter says, now add to your what? Who's adding it? I am. I'm adding it. Add to your faith virtue. Is that piece here or where it's supposed to be? Then we're going on the next thing. Is it here or where it's supposed to be? The Bible is your guide and evaluation tool. Where are your parts? Are they in the box or are they where you're supposed, they're supposed to be? And you'll know, where are you in this process of being complete? In Christ, I'm what? I'm done. That's why I can be in heaven, because I'm done. That's why we're so adamant that you trust in who and him alone. Because Christ makes me complete. Baptism doesn't make me complete. Reading my Bible in a certain sense does not make me complete.
Jesus Christ makes me complete and fit for heaven. He must, because that's where you're seated right now. And you have to ask yourself, how in the world did I get there? Well, it wasn't from your baptism. It wasn't from joining this church. It wasn't from reading the right Bible. You got there by Jesus Christ. So I'm there now, but I'm on a journey to be just like him as I work out my what? That's what we're going to focus on. And you know as well as I do, the more time and effort I put in these parts, reading these directions, getting the help from the people who are supposed to help me, the more likely I'm going to finish this sooner rather than later. That's what God wants. He just doesn't want you walking around thinking, my sins are forgiven. That's great. He wants you walking around knowing. Have you ever done this? Someone come up to you for like a job interview. Tell me your strengths and your weaknesses. So you, depending on how bad you want the job, you either tell the truth or you lie. Hopefully as a Christian, you don't lie. Do you know one day God's going to ask you, tell me your strengths and your weaknesses, and you're going to be able to look at God and say, I don't have any weaknesses. Not cocky, but because of the grace of God working where? In your life. Tell me your strengths and your weaknesses. There's coming a day when you're going to be able to look God in the face because of his amazing grace and mercy and long-suffering and say to him, I don't have any. Because of who? Your son. What would this world be if Christians lived in the reality? I'm complete. And I'm working towards being complete. Do you think the things that upset us so much in this world would kind of just start taking a back seat? We're going to take a look at this evening. How to prepare for persecution. How did those guys and ladies leave everything? I mean everything. And go out and be martyred and think nothing of it. Well, there's a lot of reasons. The other one of them surely had to be is, I'm complete in Christ. What's this world going to add to me? What is this world going to add to me? Nothing. So why am I fighting so hard to stay here? Why am I giving all my energies to get something that isn't going to make me complete? Christ makes me complete. He makes me whole. He makes me a real human being. That job can't, that thing can't, that thing over there can't, that hobby can't. Oh, there's nothing wrong with those things. But if you're looking to find value to your life, Jesus Christ gives you all the value you could ever want or desire to make you a human being the way you're going to be for all eternity. Lacking what? Nothing. You're going to be your version. You're going to be your version of perfect. Can you imagine that? We're not all going to be robots. We love Jesus. Yes, we do. You're going to be your version of perfect. It's coming up. Because of Christ. In the meantime, between now and that day, there's parts to be put places, right? There's parts that need to be put places. I got them all. Got all my parts. Just need to get them in the right place. Some of us have parts where they don't belong, so we're going to have to take them off, get them out of here, and replace them with the parts God wants them. And the way we're going to do that is God's going to instruct us. We're going to read the instruction book.
And hopefully I have someone in my life who's further along in the process who can look at me and say, now, Todd, that park was there. And then I can talk to my children or grandchildren. Hey, listen. No, honey. That part goes here. That part goes here. And help us. Because the goal is the same. We all want this. And we're going to start looking at it. How far along am I? What parts are missing? Where do they need to be? And how am I doing? And again, the longer and harder you work at it, the more likely it's going to get done. Don't be the house sitting by the side of the road that people drive by, and after a while it just became a joke. That house is going to just spoil because nobody's paying attention to it and working on it. It started out, it looked like, man, that's going to be a mansion. It was huge. And now it's a pile of rotten wood. We don't want that. We want to become everything God's intended for you and me to be. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Okay. Where are you on the journey? Do you realize you have everything to be everything God wants you to be? You've got it all. You're lacking nothing. Have you grabbed some parts out of your pocket and tried to put where God, only the parts God has for you fit? And you're just trying and trying to make it work? Just do it God's way. Aren't you glad God wants to make you a complete person? Can you imagine how it feels to just sit down at night? I'm complete. Someday that's going to happen. Someday, no weaknesses. In the meantime, I pursue that state. How blessed it is it for you to be seated right now because of Christ in a heavenly place. You're there right now. You're not going to get any closer. The only change is it's going to become more reality to you when it does happen. Where are you in the journey? Are you working hard at it? Are you letting the people who God has placed in your life help you? Are you letting them help you? However God has spoken to you, as the music begins to play, you do business with him.